Montana talks here. Live and local. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Broadcasting live across the great state of Montana, powered by the Montana Electric Cooperative Association. Your Montana Electric Cooperative, they do much more than keep the lights on for you. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Well, he's still stuck in the Capitol. He hasn't made it back home to Savage Montana yet. But either way, let's jump right into it because we've got a quick few minutes here with Montana's Speaker of the House, Brandon Lehr. Mr. Speaker, great to have you on the show. Are you relieved or do you wish you guys were still in the legislative session to get some more work done?
You know, I think that it's kind of mixed feelings there. It's a fun process to be involved in, but after a certain period of time, I think everybody's ready to get home, and I think it was time for it to end. And it's just kind of weird now with the hallways being empty. It's really abrupt. So you know, like I said, I mean, it's fun, but I think it was time for it to be done.
Well, obviously, you personally had a major legislative victory. Your income tax relief plan is the plan that's now been signed into law. And a lot of people have been looking at the percentages. What's even bigger than the percentages alone is the fact that now a huge chunk of working class taxpayers are going to be pushed into a lower tax bracket. And that lower tax bracket is getting a reduction as well as the upper tax bracket. So how significant is that, the fact that more of the working class taxpayers won't be in the upper tax bracket anymore?
Yeah, so we raised that exemption from $40,000 to roughly $120,000, and them guys are going to get a 1.2% drop. You know, they went from paying 5.9% to now they'll be paying 4.7%. So roughly, you know, a quarter of their, you know, they'll get roughly a quarter of their income tax dropped now. So a 25% reduction. Then, you know, the higher tax bracket over the course of the next 2 years will be dropped from 5.9% to 5.4%, and hopefully we can continue working towards the flat tax and then just have everybody paying 4.7%. So, you know, that way we can get to there. But it'd be roughly $300 million that'll stay in Montana pocketbooks.
Yeah, that's great. That's huge. And then, of course, you know, we've talked already this week. We had President Regeer on the show and Democrat House Minority Whip Jonathan Carlin on the show yesterday. But certainly looking forward to hearing your take from the House perspective, House leadership perspective. 30 seconds before our first break here, and then we'll talk more. What's another major accomplishment that you want to let Montanans know about?
I think one of the big unsung things this session is we are now going to allow state wildland firefighters to fight fires on federal land. I think that's something that just kind of flew underneath the radar. We're just given the authority for counties and state firefighters to be able to go in there and try to put some of these out early, so that way we don't have the feds, you know, just sit there and watch them, and then all of a sudden they blow up and come roaring out of the national forest and burn up a bunch of private ground and homes.
That's great to hear, especially with a more firefighting-friendly administration in President Trump. All right, stand by. Back up.
From Mondakistan to the Flathead, Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right, just a quick few minutes here with Speaker of the House Brandon Lehr, and then we've got open phone lines, open lines Friday for the rest of the hour for you after that. Speaker Lehr, we were talking more during the break there about some of the other accomplishments, some of the successes. We could talk about the frustrations all day long or all week long, like it has felt like we've been doing. I saw this in a blog called the Montana Chronicles. Montana bans foreign funding of state ballot measures. That is a big one. That is a huge one, because just like you've got foreign billionaires like Hans Wies funding the American Prairie Reserve to kick ranchers off the land, some of those same foreign financiers are funding ballot initiative campaigns.
Yeah, and that was House Bill 818, carried by Representative Mitchell. It does just what you said. It makes sure that any of these ballot initiatives, the people that are being affected by them are the ones that should be funding them, and we shouldn't have outside influences coming in and pouring a bunch of money in to try to get people to sway one way or the other by some outside force. So I was, it was a good bill, and I'm glad we got that across the finish line.
I know the massive spending bills have been very divisive within the Republican caucus, where you've had a handful of Republicans teaming up with the Democrats to massively increase spending. And we talked with you last week about, you know, hopefully the governor will break out the veto pen on a massive chunk of that massive spending. There's been other, you know, divisive things within the caucus, particularly in the Senate. But what have been the things that have united the Republicans to get across the finish line this legislative session? I think of protecting women and girls' sports and protecting women's privacy and things like that. But then just yesterday, Governor Gianforte signed into law a reform package when it comes to the Montana Environmental Policy Act. That's another big one there.
Yeah, and we've had quite a few, you know, the NEPA bills, we were able to all hold together in the House on them. Representative Mitchell also carried Bobby's Law, which is, you know, kind of making a DUI, especially if there's a fatality in it, a very strict, you know, enhancing the penalties on that. We passed some decent election reform again this session, and just kind of chipping away at that. We banned lab-grown meat in the state of Montana. That was just kind of a one-off there that pulled us all together. House Bill 117, or not House Bill, excuse me, Senate Bill 117, carried by Representative Zolnikoff, which is kind of limiting local government growth. A lot of that stuff we were able to hold 58 on push through.
You know, I posted a story on our Montana Talks website yesterday about how Gallatin County commissioners and the Gallatin County attorney are trying to stand in the way of ICE when it comes to deporting these criminal illegal aliens. I'm going to talk more about that here in a few minutes, but a good news story, the Montana legislature came together and passed an E-Verify bill. And this is important because a lot of people are saying, hey, unless we crack down on these so-called businesses that are hiring these illegal aliens, when are we truly going to solve the illegal alien problem?
Yeah, the House Bill 226 that was carried by Representative Sprunger, it authorizes the Department of Labor to verify legal employment of laborers during routine site visits. And this will be done through E-Verify and I-9 documents. It'll penalize employers for usage of, you know, illegal labor. So it was a good bill. There's a lot of people that wanted to see it go farther, and me being one of them, but it's a good start. There lacks some teeth, but it's a good start.
Yeah. What else would you want to tell folks about when you look back at the legislative session? And I know the dust is still settling, and the governor is now weighing whether to approve or veto a number of these bills right now. But what do you want to tell folks all across Montana, especially back home in Savage?
Yeah. I think we had a good session. I know that there's some disdain towards some of, you know, the spending and stuff like that, and I'm not going to sit here and say it was just the left that was spending money. There was money spent all around, the governor is going to have to break out that veto pen, we're our budget is balanced, and that is one thing, that it is balanced, and but we still, there's a lot of spending bills out there that need to be taken care of to protect the taxpayer, and I wish we could have nipped a few more of them in the House, we are, you know, I guess working with him and trying to, you know, maybe take care of a few of them bills. And I guess all in all, I think we did still pass some decent property tax bills. We passed the NEPA package. We passed a bunch of protecting women and children bills. I think we still have something to hang our hat on, and we have a lot to work towards in 2027.
When it comes to property tax relief or property tax reform, residential property taxpayers will get a big chunk of relief unless the counties and the cities come back and steal it all from them. What about agriculture? Some have said it's going to be a big hit. The Democrats are saying it's not going to be as big of a hit. You're in ag country. What do you think?
When you look at the modeling from DOR, agriculture is going to stay pretty much the same. There may be a slight increase in some counties and a slight decrease in other counties. The centrally assessed will get a little bit of an increase, and then there will be an increase for second for out-of-state and in-state second homeowners, unless them are long-term rentals.
All right. Very interesting. Well, Speaker Lear, I know you've got an interview with a media outlet back home in eastern Montana, so we appreciate you joining us here on Freedom Friday. Thanks for your time.
Appreciate it. Thank you.
All right. We'll have to get you in studio one of these days when you're crisscrossing the state as well. But great to have you on the phone lines from the Montana Capitol. Now the phone lines are open for you. Open Lines Friday here on Montana Talks. Always reminds you of the great Rush Limbaugh. I love it when we have open phone lines on Friday. Back after this.
Media Minute with Howard Kurtz.
It was journalist Mark Halperin who first got the scoop that White House National Security Advisor Mike Waltz was out. And a few weeks ago, he got into trouble over that whole group chat Signalgate business for inadvertently inviting The Atlantic's editor-in-chief. I would argue it wasn't entirely his fault. Several news accounts quoted President Trump as telling advisors he did not want to give the media a scalp, but by waiting until that controversy had died down, it doesn't look that way. There are other factors. For example, Waltz, who gave up his House seat and as a consolation prize will now get the UN ambassadorship, he had not an America First view of the world. He's more of a traditional Republican on foreign policy. And far-right activist Laura Loomer lobbied for his ouster, and President Trump seems to listen to her. With your Media Minute, Howie Kurtz, Fox News.
Since 1960...
This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right, I see we got a caller on the phone lines, wants to talk about the VA. And that kind of reminds me, I want to talk a little bit more about this guest opinion column by Montana's U.S. Senator and Navy SEAL veteran Tim Sheehy. It's an op-ed in the Daily Caller, 100 days of putting warfighters first. I'll share some highlights. Got to talk about this crazy story, outrageous story out of Gallatin County. When I first saw this headline earlier this week, in the Bozeman Daily Chronicle, I thought, oh good, they're working with ICE, they're working with, you know, how we can round up these illegal aliens. And then I read the story and I was like, oh, wait a minute, they're not working with ICE. In fact, they're resisting, dare we say, obstructing ICE. Yeah, Gallatin County. Remember when Gallatin County was a conservative stronghold, and then, of course, the pre-COVID-19 San Francisco liberals and Seattle liberals started moving in, and now you've got Democrat county commissioners, now you've got a Democrat county attorney, and she is making it clear that she wants to stand in the way of U.S. Immigration and Customs Enforcement. Wait till you hear more of this. The sheriff's doing a great job, though. Sheriff Dan Springer, hats off to him for working to stop the crime that they're seeing in Gallatin County. But yeah, the county commissioners and the Democrat county attorney are obstructing ICE. Got a full story on our Montana Talks website. Before we get into those topics, though, let's go to Sarge in Kalispell, listening to KJJR. Sarge, what's going on? Are you still there? Okay, maybe he didn't stay with us through the break there. Okay. You're there. Okay, good.
Yeah, no, I just want to thank you. I saw what you do and give a shout out to the VA down in Helena and the VA up here in Kalispell. They've taken really great care of me, good care, and things like that. So it was just, you know, the ground pounders, the front line, the nurses and the surgical prep teams and all them guys.
Yeah, I'll tell you, I've always said that, you know, we can have our complaints about the VA bureaucracy and the politicians, let's just call them the politicians that have been running the VA at the bureaucratic level. But man, when it comes to the men and women in our clinics in our facilities here in Montana. I second what you say. Just great folks. And, doing my, my stuff at the VA here over the past couple of weeks, yeah, they've been very responsive to me as well.
Yeah, they were very professional and personal, and they really took care. They went out of the way, really, they did, to get me in the surgery and all that good stuff. And so it was, it's always the front line, the ground pounders, you know.
Well, and of course, more work still needs to be done. I've also still heard, continuous frustrating stories as well. Like, we've got a listener out in Huntley, and he was telling me how he was, for some reason, he couldn't do his surgery in Montana. For whatever reason, he had to go do his surgery way back in, like, Virginia or something, and it ended up being a big fiasco or whatever. And so, yeah, the more of that stuff you can do locally, not just in Montana, not just in Helena, but if you live in Kalispell, the more we can do at healthcare facilities in our own towns and in our own communities, the better. And I know that's what the Trump VA is working to do once again.
Yeah, so I just wanted to give a shout-out to the crew up here at Kalispell and those down in Helena. So it was really, had a great experience with them.
Well, I'm glad they're taking care of you. You deserve it. Thanks for your service. Thanks for your sacrifice on this Freedom Friday. And thanks to those who care for our veterans and our service members as well. Sarge, appreciate the phone call. 406-294-0970 is the number for you. Or you can message us on our Montana Talks app. In fact, that reminds me, I need to go pull that up so I can make sure I'm monitoring for any new messages that come in. All right, speaking of our troops, Senator Tim Sheehy, 100 days of putting war fighters first. Since the American people made their choice to send President Trump back to the White House on November 5th, our military has seen its highest recruiting in 30 years. There is no doubt that is thanks to the leadership of the President and Secretary of Defense Pete Hegseth. Secretary Hegseth, Senator Sheehy writes, has followed through on the promises President Trump made to the American people, deploying nearly 12,000 troops to secure our southern border and rooting out waste at the Pentagon. He has eradicated woke initiatives that served to please the far left instead of equip those on the front lines. And he has overseen a more than 30-day successful campaign against the Houthi rebels to restore freedom of navigation in the region. And then he talks about these fake, phony attacks and trumped-up news stories against Secretary of Defense Pete Hegseth. And then he adds this. By the way, these same dishonest hacks had nothing to say when the Biden administration abandoned our troops and allies in Afghanistan, left billions in equipment for the Taliban to parade around, and unleashed terrorist groups like Hamas, Hezbollah, and the Houthis. He concludes his op-ed by saying the results of President Trump and Pete Hegseth's first 100 days on the job speak for themselves. Recruitment is on the rise. Terrorists are on the run, and most importantly, our warfighters know they have a president and a defense secretary who have their backs. A great op-ed by Senator Tim Sheehy. I shared it via X, if you go to x.com/Aaron Flint. But, of course, despite the successes of President Trump's first 100 days, this America First agenda, this Montana First agenda, the bands of resistance are doing everything they can to undermine the president, to undermine our country, and to ignore or downplay the successes of this administration and the successes of both of our U.S. Senators, Steve Daines and Tim Sheehy, who have been standing with President Trump solidly since day one. These bands of resistance, Newt Gingrich, former Speaker of the House, Newt Gingrich, he was on with Sean Hannity last night, and he was talking about these bands of resistance. It's a short soundbite, so let me play it here for those of you who haven't heard it. He was talking about all these fake news polls that many of you have been hearing about in the fake news media. Oh, Donald Trump's, he's not popular. People don't like what he's been doing in the first 100 days. Oh, yeah, right, sure.
Well, I mean, first of all, they're just plain lying. And I think we got to be tougher and clearer about how dishonest these people are. The fact is, and I talked to John McLaughlin, and I talked to Matt Towery about this. They have some polls there that are like 27% Republican when Trump got 50% of the vote. So if you add the 23 points they didn't test, suddenly he's in great shape. This is deliberate. It is willful. Look, there are three great centers of resistance. The propaganda media, which will lie all the time, the fake district judges, and the fake Congressional Budget Office. Those are the last three great centers of resistance, and they're going to do anything they can to defeat Trump and the Republicans, including lying about virtually everything.
And one big lie he called out in particular. And I'll get to that in a second. You guys remind me to share another very quick, it's even quicker than that soundbite, another very quick soundbite for you here. But first, hey, let's bring in all week long here. I got to say a big thank you. You guys know our producer, Caden Bjornstedt. He's been, enjoying some baseball and enjoying some well-deserved vacation days all week long. Filling in for Caden has been our friend Finley Warden. He's only 19 years old, great young man, very smart young man. You might know his folks, Chris and Lori Warden in Missoula. I've known Chris. His dad, actually, this is pretty funny. His dad was the student government president at the University of Montana back in the day, even before I was elected head of student government at the University of Montana. And so I always had fun conversations with Finley's dad, Chris, you know, joking about the radical leftists on campus and everything like that. Because, boy, were they mad when I got elected. Because, see, I kept the John F. Kennedy poster on the wall. There was always a JFK poster in the ASUM president's office. And then a good friend of mine gave me a nice Ronald Reagan poster. And I said, you know what, let's have Reagan up there next to JFK as well. And, oh, boy, they didn't like that one. They didn't like that one. But then again, they don't really like JFK that much either. They just virtue signal and pretend to like JFK. But, you know, John F. Kennedy and Ronald Reagan made perfect sense being on the same wall because they both understood the importance of tax cuts for the American people and how good it was for the economy. So that was one thing JFK and Ronnie had in common. But Finley, talking about the media running with this propaganda and some of the lies that get pushed. Yesterday, if people go to our Montana Talks podcast, you took over the microphone for a podcast segment. And you were talking about May Day, May 1st. Give us a recap of what May Day looked like across Montana with these crazy leftist protests, the old 60s washouts who showed up on the bridge in Missoula and elsewhere.
Yeah, thanks for having me, Aaron. It's been great to be producing for you this week. So yesterday, May Day, May 1st, is a day that's celebrated all across the world by revolutionary socialists as a day of workers' protests. And across the state and pretty much all our major cities, we saw protests at the courthouses. And for example, in Missoula, I encourage people to look at the pictures of that. It didn't really end up being too much. We saw about only 70, like you said, pretty old people marching around on the bridge.
Angry old people.
Yeah, so it didn't really amount to much in Montana. But across the country, we saw much larger protests that were driven by many of the major revolutionary socialist and communist groups that had a much bigger impact than the ones we saw.
Yeah, well, keep your microphone at the ready because I want to talk more with you about this. And also, I think our statewide audience is, you know, really wants to hear, okay, you're 19 years old. What do young people think about everything that's going on today? But we'll talk more about your May Day coverage as well. And the angry old washed out hippies protesting on the bridge, just like the old days. So anyway, stand by. We'll come back to Finley right after this.
This is where Montana Talks at with Lane Nordlund.
As we continue to make our way across Australia on the Angus Track Tour, a part of the World Angus Forum, we've made our way from New South Wales up to Queensland en route to Brisbane. Yesterday, I was able to catch up with Mr. Sinclair Munro, president of Angus Australia, on the significance of having the World Angus Forum here down under.
Live is wonderful, mate. It's a great event, and people from 26 countries across the globe, and we've got so much in common as cattle producers and in the world, and Angus cattle producers, great lot of people, some sharing some great ideas, learning from each other, networking. It's just a wonderful experience.
I was also able to sit down with Erica Halliday, the chair of the World Angus Forum.
So the last time we had the World Angus Forum was in 1997, and I was actually a young person, a tour guide on that. And now I'm seeing people that are both children of the people that I was with originally, some grandchildren involved in the youth competition, and it's been wonderful. And we've got such a lovely Angus family, and they're having a great time here today.
Now, again, the forum happens every 4 years in a different location somewhere in the world.
Yes.
What is the theme for this year's forum?
It's Beef for a Better Planet. And so in doing that, we're acknowledging that cows can actually be part of the solution to climate change, and also that there's a whole lot of stuff as farmers and ranchers that we can learn that can make us more profitable and more ecologically sustainable businesses.
From Tamworth, Australia, I'm Lane Nordlund.
Hey, Billings.
This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right, yeah, back to it here. We've got phone lines open for you. If you got something you want to talk about, or if you want to mix it up with me and our guest producer, Finley Warden here, feel free. Call in 406-294-0970, or you can message us on the Montana Talks app as well. So Finley, back when I was a kid, I was a little bit older of a college kid, I guess, because I started in D.C., took some time off. But back when I was at the University of Montana, it was funny. I saw we had a lady who worked at the School of Journalism, and nice lady. I always loved mixing it up with her and talking politics or news or whatever. But she's very liberal, very far left. She's retired now. And I saw one of her May Day protest signs in Missoula yesterday, and I just had to laugh. I didn't comment on her Facebook post because, you know, I didn't want to look like I was, you know, trying to be mean or anything, you know, because it's like some people get, you know, sensitive if you laugh at their post on Facebook. But she shared this another day, another protest, mostly old folks, and then had the anti-Trump, anti-Steve Daines, anti-she-he poster here. But I thought that was very interesting, like she, in her own, you know, post on Facebook, she pointed out what you and what Sam Redfern in Missoula have pointed out, that these are mostly old folks. It's kind of like, it just seems like a lot of these never Trumpers, a lot of these anti-Trump people are basically they're the old 60s, you know, Vietnam War protester washouts trying to relive what they thought were their glory days with these protests against Trump. And when you were talking about the May Day protests, I think that kind of ties in with what you saw in the Canadian election results earlier this week as well.
Yeah, that's exactly right. And you're totally on the spot right there with identifying. It's totally the old hippie, may have protested the Vietnam War types that we're seeing at these protests.
And then talk about the Canadian election results here, because they just like the thing I found fascinating. So you're 19 years old. You just voted in your first presidential election ever. When I was at the Rock and R Bar in Bozeman the day after Election Day, those bartenders there told me, they said, "Hey, Aaron." These, and Tim from Savage was right there with me that morning. They told us, they said, "Hey guys," because we were talking about young people, because the millennials get this reputation for being a little bit more liberal. But what they were telling me is that, hey, this younger crowd now that's in college or about to be in college are a totally different political dynamic, because they had to put up with all the COVID BS. And so they're ready to buck the system. They're a little more freedom oriented.
Yeah, with this past presidential election, with Trump being elected and just in Canada, even though the Liberals won, young people massively voted for the Conservatives there. We saw a surge of young people, specifically young men, who were just completely fed up with the Biden economy. They can't afford homes. They can't build the life that they want to build in our country. And voting for Conservatives and voting for Republicans, specifically Trump, really gave young people an outlet to feel like they are being heard. And it's up to Republicans to take advantage of that and to really do what they were sent to do by the young people.
Yeah, so Finley is our producer, so he screens the phone calls. So we just had a call come in. Finley, if you want to grab that line three. Okay, he's going to grab line three there for a second because I want to get to your phone calls. I think we've got a caller on line one. But since he's the one who grabs your phone calls, he can't really talk to you on the phone while he's been talking with me on the radio right now. So he's going to screen a couple of phone calls, two or three phone calls here really fast. But, yeah, that point that he just made, I thought was very interesting because I hadn't heard that before Finley mentioned it earlier this morning, that in the Canadian elections that it was actually the older generations, it was the boomer generation that propelled the left to victory in the Canadian elections, but the younger people did not support the left. Now, if you ask me, as much as I wish more of our boomers would come around, it's clear, sadly, we've lost the World War II generation. But I find that fascinating that in the United States of America, we've seen the numbers that backed it up here, that when you look at the 18 to 40, 18 to 50, whatever it is, crowd, they went pro-Trump. Now, to me, that is huge because, look, at the end of the day, I'm only going to be here so much longer. Many of our listeners are only going to be here so much longer. It's the next generation that's going to decide whether, you know, next year we approach our 250th birthday as a country. Are we going to be a country for another 250 years? And even if we are still a country, will we be the republic that we were founded to be? Or will mob rule the day? And so the fact that these younger generations are rejecting this mob rule democracy and are freedom-oriented and want to live in a country to be free and not dependent on the government, and understand that we are a republic and not a democracy where the mob can come in and dictate you around and take money out of your pocket, that is huge. Let's sneak in a phone call here. We got Bill in Billings on the phone lines. Bill, what's your thoughts this morning?
Well, Aaron, just got back from a few days camping up next to the park, and a lot of small motorhomes, those rental type, and a lot of them were Air Canada or Rent Canada. Wound up talking to about four different groups that had those. Every one of them was horribly upset with the Canadian elections. One guy, he has a fish farm, and he says the carbon tax, he's just been fighting it and trying to stay in business, and he says after this last election, he's going to have to close up. Then there was two groups that were from the Netherlands, and then four young guys in their 30s from Holland. Visited with all of them, and every one of them is fed up with their socialist countries. They all want to come to this country. It was just amazing. Of course, I had a Trump hat on most of the time, and that got the conversation started. Every one of them, love your hat. So that's what's really going on in the rest of the world, in spite of what we might hear.
Well, and, you know, our friends in Alberta and our friends in Saskatchewan are a lot like us down here in Montana. We've got folks on the left coast and the east coast that don't see things the same way we do, and they want to dictate to us, and they want to shut down our, you know, farm ranch operations. And, yeah, Bill, that's great insight. Great to hear from you. So, Finley, throw your mic on again, once again in there. To anybody who called in, or if you want to call in, if I'm talking to Finley on the radio, what I'll do is I'll answer your phone call, and you won't hear me say, hey, how's it going? I'll just basically park you on hold. You will hear Finley and I talking, and then we'll take a break and screen your phone call and get you on the call after the break, something like, or we can take it live, too, if that may work as well. But Finley, you know, earlier this morning, we were joking about all the show prep that I have scattered across the studio here. You know, just dozens of different news stories, tweets, whatever. Right? One of them, one of the things is this story. This is from Rebel News, which is like one of the only free thinking Canadian news outlets. The rest is state owned socialist media, socialized media, kind of like PBS and NPR here in America. But what the point they make here is this. In Canada, Mark Carney is prime minister. He's that far left guy. Ontario, Quebec, and Atlantic Canada handed him a majority, while the West, once again, was left out in the cold. Rebel News added this. We've seen this movie before. A government we didn't vote for, a prime minister we didn't elect, and a federal agenda that treats Alberta like a punching bag to be taxed, scolded, and shut down. But they say this time something changed. The very next day, Premier Danielle Smith's government introduced a bill that could change everything. And so basically, it sounds like there's a whole bunch of people in Canada that are saying, in Alberta, that are saying, hey, we've got to figure out a way to separate ourselves from this federal government up here.
Yeah, I think you're right about that. And hey, Alberta, I totally welcome you to join Montana or the United States as a state. I think that would be way better for them. But I'm going to be completely honest. I do feel bad for the conservative Canadians who do not like the Carney government, who are going to have to suffer for the next few years under that. But I think for the United States, this is actually a win. Trump really showed how he can flex his power in Canada. He basically took the election from the conservatives. And I do think he is right when he says that it will be easier to make a trade deal with Canada with Carney as prime minister compared to Pierre Poilievre.
Yeah, yeah. And then I think also, conservatives in Canada could take note from President Trump and fight a little harder as well. I was hoping Poilievre would have been able to do that, but unfortunately, no. He just kind of went along with, I'm going to try to run against Trump too thing, and that obviously didn't help. Okay, What about the Montana legislative session and young voters in Montana? Wait till you hear Finley Warden's thoughts on that right after this. Montana.
Broadcasting live across the great state of Montana, powered by the Montana Electric Cooperative Association. Your Montana Electric Cooperative, they do much more than keep the lights on for you. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Evan in Belt sent us a message on the Montana Talks app. This came in late last night. Well, late for me anyways, with the dark 30 hours we run on around here. But Evan said this. Finley, feel free to snag that caller while I get to this message, and then I want to come back to you and get to our callers here as well. But Evan says, as I clean up the drill and tractor after another busy planting season, my heart is filled with pride and satisfaction. The only feeling that I can say that Trump's that feeling is the one I had when I served this country in the armed forces. A feeling that I'm sure other armed brothers and sisters understand. We were truly blessed to serve this great country. And then he says this when it comes to the legislative session and some of the frustrations there. He says, I only wish that our state legislators would have taken their service to our state as seriously as we took our missions to our country. It is only because of those who have served in uniform that these stuffed shirts have the opportunity to sit in Helena to do our business, and they muffed it all up. Shameful. That's what Evan and Belt has to say. Finley Warden, our guest producer this week on this show, you're 19 years old. You voted in your first presidential election. I would encourage everybody, check out our Montana Talks podcast. He did a whole segment, just him behind the microphone, and it's a must listen. But you basically, your message to this handful of state legislators, these handful of Republicans that voted with the Democrats on massive spending hikes and more, is, hey, you guys pull that type of Adam Schiff, you are going to turn off these young voters, and you may never see them ever again, because they came out. Well, tell us, why do you think these younger voters came out and voted Republican, and how do these, you know, Republicans voting with the Democrats threaten, you know, these young voters from sticking around?
Yeah, well, I think it was largely Donald Trump and his appeal that brought young people out to vote for Republicans for the first time. And he really communicated the message that he could be the person, and the Republican Party could be the party that will help address the issues that Gen Z is facing. And that's why I and pretty much all the young people I've talked to in the state are completely disappointed, utterly disappointed with the performance of this last legislature, and especially with the 9 senators who've been voting with the Democrats, and many people in the House who've also been voting with the Democrats. And I totally think that they could lose the votes of young people for the rest of their lives. I mean, young people kind of took a gamble voting for Republicans. That's not something young people normally do. So if Republicans don't take advantage of it, then Republicans will lose the opportunity to have that generation vote for them again.
Yeah, you've got to deliver. And I think I said it after the November elections is, okay, what have we seen in past midterm elections? There should have been a big red wave in the 2022 midterms. But what we saw is that, hey, if Donald Trump is not on the ballot, a lot of these Trump voters won't show up and turn out. So, but, you know, after 2028, starting in 2028, Donald Trump will not be on the ballot. How will you keep winning the elections without Donald Trump on the ballot in a lot of these places? Well, you have from now until next year for the midterms, and from now until 2028 to prove that you, like Donald Trump, will fight for us if you want them to turn out and fight for you in these November elections. Couple of minutes to go here. Do you want to screen that caller real quick? Because sometimes it'll be a false alarm. We'll think there's a call in the line, but it's just the button flashing. Finley, screen that call real fast. Let me tell folks real quickly. I've got a story at MontanaTalks.com. Over 1,000 illegal aliens are reportedly in Montana. As you heard the governor say on this show, most of that 1,000 illegal aliens are in Gallatin County. And if you go see the quotes from the Gallatin County attorney and from the Democrat Gallatin County commissioners, it seems pretty obvious to me. They are standing in the way of ICE. They are trying to block ICE from being able to come in and do their jobs and send these illegal aliens home. That seems very clear here. And so anyway, I would encourage you all to share that article from the Montana Talks website. Share it with your friends. Share it with state officials. Share it with federal officials. Because if they're going to stand in the way of ICE, then they need to face the consequences of it. Let's see. Is that Craig on the phone lines there? Craig, what's your thoughts before we run out of time? We only got less than a minute to go.
Yeah, this is Greg in White Sulphur.
Oh, Greg. Hey, yeah.
Anyway, yeah. I wrote Tim Sheehy a handwritten letter in February, and I got an address from the Republican headquarters in Helena of where to send it to, and I've never heard anything back. I've called his incompetent staffers in Helena, and I talked to one of them one time, and that was a month ago, and I still haven't heard anything back from anybody.
Well, I'll tell you what, if you want, share that message with me. I'll see if I can get it to somebody. Yeah, I know he's still getting his full team assembled and up and running, so but appreciate the phone call, Greg. Greg, thanks for calling in. Finley Warden, you got the final 20 seconds. What do you want to tell folks across Montana?
Aaron, I just want to thank you so much for having me this week. It's been an honor to talk to our amazing statewide audience. So thanks again.
Well, it's been great to have you. You did a great job. Thanks so much. Tell your folks hi while you're at it.
I will.